from deep inside your radio.
Yeah, I'm flying to London. What about it? I'm flying to London right after this broadcast. Your point? Ladies and gentlemen, let's try to make heads or tails of this, because it's good. In Saturday's New York Times, on the front page, the Pakistani president, general, yeah, he's a general, and he's a president. What's your point? General Pervez Musharraf was warned this month that Islamic militants and Taliban fighters were rapidly spreading beyond the country's lawless tribal areas, and without swift and decisive action, the growing militancy could engulf the rest of Pakistan. Yeah, they've had it there for a while, but you may remember last fall, Pakistan government signed what are now being described as, you know, critics describe it as appeasement. Some describe peace treaties with the Taliban in the lawless areas. So now they're spreading beyond the lawless areas to the lawful areas to try to make them lawless. Says a Pakistan diplomat, not authorized to speak for attribution, speaking of the document from the Interior Ministry warning of the possible creeping Talibanization of Pakistan. It's tragic it's taken so long to recognize it. Yeah, too bad he wasn't listening to the radio. The warning says Pakistan's security forces in northwest frontier province abutting the tribal areas are outgunned and outnumbered and had forfeited authority to the Taliban and their allies. It's tragic. Too bad. Then we have this from what used to be Knight Ridder newspapers, Washington Bureau, now it's McClatchy, but still the same intrepid guys who aren't published in L.A. or New York or Washington, so it is really outside the bubble. While the U.S. presses its war against insurgents linked to al-Qaeda in Iraq, bin Laden's group is recruiting, regrouping, and rebuilding in a new sanctuary along the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, according to U.S. military intelligence and law enforcement officials. Law enforcement? It's not a law enforcement matter. It's a war. The hell are they? The threat from the radical Islamic enclave in Waziristan is more dangerous than that from Iraq, said some current and former U.S. officials and experts. Bin Laden himself is believed to be hiding in the region, guiding a new generation of lieutenants and inspiring allied extremist groups in Iraq and other parts of the world. Yeah, I'm flying to London. What's your point? Al-Qaeda, its allies in Afghanistan's Taliban movement, and Pakistani radicals have free rein there now, said a former State Department intelligence analyst, Marvin Weinbaum. The remote Pakistani region, quote, is the real heart of the war on terror, and we're losing, unquote, a U.S. intelligence official who requested anonymity because their pessimism conflicts with the administration's public statement. Quote, same official, we took our eye off the ball when we went into Iraq, unquote. No, never too late to find that up. And, same source, facing eroding support for his Iraq policy, even among Republicans, President Bush this week called al-Qaeda the main enemy in Iraq, an assertion rejected by his administration's senior intelligence analysts. Bush called al-Qaeda in Iraq the perpetrator of the worst violence racking that country. U.S. military and intelligence officials, however, say that Iraqis with ties to al-Qaeda are only a small fraction of the threat to American troops. The group known as al-Qaeda in Iraq didn't exist before the U.S.-led invasion, didn't pledge its loyalty to Osama bin Laden until October 2004, and isn't controlled by bin Laden or his top aides. Quote, the only way they can think they can rally people is by blaming al-Qaeda, said a former chief of the CIA's counterterrorism center. So, we don't fight them here. The heck, we'll fight them in Pakistan. Yes, I'm flying to London, but at least I'm not flying to Karachi. Hello, welcome to the show.
Different name, Michael and Heather. touch that's soft and brown. Sir, I'm so sorry, it's just not around. Michael and Heather are glad to be on the ground. Says, Heather, have you had enough? Heather says, Michael, you know that it's you I love.
From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearing, welping you to this edition of the show. Yeah, I'm welping you. What of it? And now, news of the warm. Won't you?
Soft, listen to the warm. We can listen to the warm.
The increase in extremely hot summers predicted by climate change models. Models are predicting now? I thought they were just posing. This modern world will lead to a higher death toll that will not be offset by fewer deaths during warmer winters, according to researchers. Quote, the increase in mortality when you have one extra cold snap is 1.59%, but the increase in mortality for an additional heat wave is 5.74%, explains and a researcher at Harvard University's School of Public Health. She and her colleagues looked at how temperature correlated to mortality in 50 U.S. cities between 1989 and 2000. They found that heart attacks and cardiac arrest were the causes of death that were most likely to increase with more extreme temperatures. The team says that the widespread use of central heating in U.S. cities means that people across the country are equally prepared to cope with cold snaps, but workplaces and homes are not equally equipped with air conditioners. Of course, since some theorize that the relentless increase in global population is one of the causes of the relentless increase in greenhouse gases, which may be contributing, according to scientists, to climate change, then maybe this is just a self-correcting mechanism at work. What do you think? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, clean, safe, cheap nuclear power, well, that's got to be the answer. Don't say that to the Finns. The much-touted resurgence of the European nuclear industry, promoted as a local solution to climate change, is running into trouble, according to New Scientist. Construction of Europe's first new nuclear power station since 1991 at Olkiluoto, Finland. Hey, it's Finnish. What do you want? It's Finnish before it started. Started in August of 2005. Now the Finnish nuclear regulator, the Finnish nuclear regulator's initials are STUK. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just reading it, not writing it. The Finnish nuclear regulator, STUK, has uncovered a series of safety deficiencies in the new style plant's manufacture and design. The setback has already caused it to fall 18 months behind schedule and about, $700 million plus over budget. The idea that nuclear power is making a comeback globally and that Finland is at the forefront of this revival is no more than, quote, hype, according to Jorma Orella, a senior energy official in the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Quote, I always want to put ice cubes in the hats of those who talk about a nuclear renaissance, he says. Nuclear power has its role, but it is not the answer to climate change. Ice cubes in their hats. This guy's a rascal. Keep him away from the nukes, I say. I want to put ice cubes in the hats. They have fun in Finland, I guess. And now, ladies and gentlemen... Yes, it is. But it's not this. It's something else called The Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
Yes, mistakes akimbo. If you recently used Google to search for the word Jew, you may have seen results that were very disturbing, says a note at Google. We assure you that the views expressed by the sites in your results are not in any way endorsed by Google. A site's ranking in Google search results relies heavily on computer algorithms using thousands of factors. Sometimes subtleties of language cause anomalies to appear that cannot be predicted. A search for Jew brings up one such unexpected result. If you use Google to search for Judaism, Jewish, or Jewish people, the results are informative and relevant. So why is a search for Jew different? One result is the word Jew is often used in an anti-Semitic context. We apologize for the upsetting nature of the experience you had using Google and appreciate your taking the time to inform us about it. Sincerely, the Google team and their Jew friends. No! The British Daily Mirror newspaper has apologized to Brian Ferry, admitting a story in which it claimed he had been singing the praises of the Nazis was not true. After the story broke, the Marks and Spencer retail chain dropped Ferry from its menswear advertising campaign because of his alleged pro-Nazi sentiments. Ferry later apologized and said he found the Nazi regime abhorrent. He lodged a complaint about the story with the Press Complaints Commission. The commission negotiated the apology in the Daily Mirror and resolved the complaint. From Wikipedia.com... Oh, it's online apology week at the show. From Wikipedia, the anonymous individual responsible for jesting 14 hours before police discovered the body that World Wrestling Entertainment wrestler Chris Benoit's wife was dead is confessing, saying his or her comment was a terrible coincidence. The anonymous editor left a lengthy apology to the Wikipedia community, explaining, quote, I hope this puts an end to this speculation that someone knew about the tragedy before it was discovered. I am deeply sorry about this, and I was just as shocked as everyone when I heard that this would actually happen in real life. On the same story, WWE Chairman Vince McMahon has repeatedly denied knowledge of steroid use by Benoit, who killed his wife, a wrestling personality, Friday night, his son Saturday, and himself on Sunday. That's a full weekend. McMahon has apologized for airing a special tribute show to Benoit Monday night after the three were dead, but prior to details of the deaths being released, and has removed Benoit's merchandise from all their stores and their website. Can't buy killer merch, ladies and gentlemen, from World Wrestling. Daylight Chicago. A mother expressed her outrage after a Toyota Park concert sponsors handed her disabled 12-year-old daughter a goodie bag including condoms and a sex toy catalog. The trip was intended to be a family celebration of Crystal's 8th grade graduation. Inside the bag put together by a nightclub promotions company called Mixmaster Throwdown were two condoms, a catalog for the adult store Lover's Lane, an explicit CD entitled Virgin... Oh, I can't even say that on the radio, I don't think. barely legal suntan lotion sachets printed with marijuana leaves, and a book of gag sex coupons. Eric Gord of the Lover's Lane marketing department admitted it had been a mistake. Mixmaster Throwdown's director Dan Morrell attributed the bags being passed out as a mix-up. Hey, Mixmaster, mix-up, Throwdown. He said members of his staff mistakenly grabbed the bags containing the condoms, which were identical to bags meant for the concert the girls attended, which included T-shirts and dance music CDs. The bags containing the condoms are meant for 21 and over nightclubs. He apologized to the radio station sponsoring the music concert, as well as to the mother and her daughter, calling it an honest mistake. Dateline Portland, Oregon. A transit agency chief in Oregon apologized to the family of a lesbian teenager who was kicked off a bus when a passenger complained about her kissing another girl. Removing the girls from the bus was not consistent with our policy, said TriMet General Manager Fred Hansen. We welcome all riders on our system. Federal judge rejected the tearful pleas of the former second-ranking official in the Interior Department this week and sentenced him to 10 months in prison for a felony conviction of obstructing a Senate investigation into corrupt lobbyist Jack Abramoff. You are not above the law, said Judge Ellen Huvel to former Deputy Interior Secretary J. Stephen Griles. Griles had asked for forgiveness. He pleaded guilty in March to lying to the Senate. The judge imposed a stern penalty of 10 months in prison and a $30,000 fine. She said she wanted to send a message to deter wrongdoing by high-ranking government officials. Not sure the message was received yet. Griles apologized for his actions and cited 24 years of public service. This has been the most difficult time, he said, pausing to break down in tears. In my life, my guilty plea has brought me great shame and embarrassment. I have lost my business, my income, and most importantly, my reputation. After the judge left the packed courtroom, Griles sought comfort from his wife, a former assistant attorney general, saying, "You're next, baby." A spokesman for the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense has apologized to armed forces personnel who experienced discrimination before the ban on homosexuality was lifted. Until 2,000 service members were given the boot. Oh, that's unfortunate. If found to be gay or lesbian. More than 50 who were dismissed are waiting for their cases for breach of privacy to be settled by the Defense Ministry. Britain's sexual offenses, in 2000, the ban on homosexuals in the British Armed Forces was lifted. That's not all that was lifted. Oh, excuse me. So they allow them, we don't. The end of the UK ban came due to persistent challenges from gay soldiers who had been discharged. Of course, we're sorry for anyone who suffered personal trauma. We can't change the past, and what's happened has happened, says the Defense Department, Defense Ministry spokesperson. Minnesota's health commissioner apologized again this week for the delayed release of cancer data that could implicate the dust or other hazards of taconite mining in the deaths of dozens of North Country miners. It was a mistake I truly regret. I especially want to apologize to the Iron Range community, says Diane Mandernach. Who's Diane Mandernach? Oh, Minnesota's health commissioner. The Department of Health learned of the case in March 2006, but waited a year to release the information. Lawmakers described that decision as unacceptable and mind-boggling. If you've boggled the mind of a legislature, you have done something. The Newark City School superintendent apologized to a gay student and his classmates Tuesday for having staffers use markers to black out a picture of the student kissing his boyfriend, calling the incident, quote, the hardest moment of her tenure, unquote. Superintendent Marion Bolden said she spoke with 18-year-old senior Andre Jackson the day after she issued him a written apology that said she regretted the decision to censor his personal page in the high school yearbook. Jackson was reluctant to speak to her, but the two did speak after she made a public apology at an assembly. We had worse assemblies than that when I was in high school. Three former leaders. It's also Gay Week in the Apologies Department. Three former leaders of Exodus International, often described as the nation's largest ex-gay ministry, publicly apologized this week for the harm they said their efforts had caused many gays and lesbians who believed the group's message that sexual orientation could be changed through prayer. Speaking at a Hollywood news conference, best place for it, the former leaders of the interdenominational Christian organization said they had acted sincerely in their years of work with Exodus, but they said they had become disillusioned with the group's ideas and concerned about what they described as the wrenching human toll of such gay conversion efforts. Exodus is holding its annual conference just down the freeway in Irvine. It'll take you a couple years to get there. Exodus President Alan Chambers reached by phone, said he disagreed with its critics. The former leaders cast its work in grim terms. Some who heard our message were compelled to try to change an integral part of themselves, bringing harm to themselves in their family. Although we acted in good faith, we have since witnessed the isolation, shame, fear, and loss of faith that this message creates. They're sorry. Now, the celebrity section of the apology. A lot of apologies this week, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry week. Actress Cameron Diaz publicly apologized to Peruvians for carrying a bag bearing a Maoist slogan that upset citizens by bringing back painful memories. The actress was in Peru's Andes, visiting the Incan city of Machu Picchu, and was carrying a bag with the red star and the words, "Serve the People," written in Chinese. The bag, marketed as a fashion accessory around the world, bears Mao Zedong's most famous political slogan, but it's a reminder of the Maoist shining path insurgency that fought the government in Peru in the 80s and early 90s, a bloody conflict where roughly 70,000 people were killed. And John Stamos has apologized after making an eyebrow-raising appearance on the Australian chat show Mornings with Carrie Ann. The actor wandered around the set of the show, read host Carrie Ann Kennerly's lines from the teleprompter, and made lewd gestures in front of her. John has been traveling extensively for the past 2 weeks in Greece, Egypt, and Tokyo. Two of them a country, one of them a city, and had a difficult time adjusting to the time difference in Australia, which in turn led to many sleepless nights since his arrival, according to the actor's representative. He acknowledges that his behavior was completely out of character during these interviews, and he apologizes. Dateline Tokyo, Japan's defense minister said that the dropping of atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki by the U.S. was an inevitable way to end the war. Fumio Kuma's comments drew sharp criticism from survivors, and some opposition lawmakers called for a dismissal. He later apologized, saying, "I am sorry if my comments gave the impression I disrespect the victims." The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And Le Show says a belated farewell to Nellie Letcher.
Oh, he's got a fine brand frame. I wonder what could be his name. He looks good to me, and all I can see is his fine brand frame. How long have you been around? Mr. Wayne, did you hit this big town? I want to scream, 'cause I've never seen such a fine brand frame. All that I have is a broken down chair, but I would gladly make him king on my throne. Don't be a square, why don't you come over here? Together we would really be gold. Oh, he's got a fine brand frame. I wonder what could be his name. He is solid with me, and all I can see is his fine brown frame. Beep, 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 beep. He's got such a fine brown frame. I wonder what could be his name. He looks good to me, and all I can see is his fine brown frame. How long have you been around? Mr. Wind, did you hit this big tone? I wanna scream, ow, 'cause I've never seen such a fine brown frame. All that I have is a broken down chair, but I would gladly make him king on my throne. Don't be a square, why don't you come over here? Together we would really be gone. Ooh, he's such a fine brown frame. Honey, won't you tell me your name? He is solid with me, and all I can see is his fine brown frame. Now, Robert Taylor, Robert Young, Amici, and Gabriel are all as fine as mountain sable. You may not be classed with the elite, and you may not be hip to that jive like boot and old reet. But oh, baby, oh, you look like Hercules done up in bronze. And I know I'm a clown whenever you're around, because I'm crazy about, mad about, wild about your fine brown friend.
This is Le Show. And ladies and gentlemen, the genetic modification of food continues apace. Here's some good news from Israel. Israeli researchers say they have genetically engineered tomatoes. No, not to make them easier to ship. That was what they did up at UC Davis a while back. They didn't genetically engineer them. They just bred them the old-fashioned way to be square so they'd fit in the boxes more. But that didn't work. Anyway, Israeli researchers now say they have genetically engineered tomatoes to give hints of lemon and rose aromas. Hey, before you guffaw in derision, volunteers have said they like them. The transgenic tomato includes a gene from a variety of lemon basil that produces an aroma-making enzyme called geraniol synthase. Yes, it sounds like an Olympic athlete. Ephraim Lewison of the New Year Research Center and his colleagues did this work. A panel of 82 people have tested the experimental fruit against unmodified counterparts. I think unmodified fruit. People haven't been modified yet. Why don't they just insert a gene that makes people smell like lemons and be done with it? No, they're working on that. Nearly all of the volunteers were able to detect novel aromas, which the testers variously described as, quote, perfume. Yeah, that's what I want on my tomato. Chanel number, ugh, rose, geranium, and lemongrass. It must have been a Thai volunteer. When put to the taste, the genetically modified tomatoes were preferred by 49 members of the panel. 29 preferred unmodified tomatoes, and 4 expressed no preference. Who are these people? I want them in my office first thing in the morning. Of course, I won't be here first thing in the morning, but that's why I want them there, just to sit and wait. The genetically modified tomatoes have only a light red color, though, because they have only half as much lycopene as conventional tomatoes. In addition to conferring the bright blush to tomatoes, lycopene is an antioxidant, a compound credited with health-giving qualities. But, you know, for the lemon aroma, maybe the health-giving qualities aren't really worth all it. Offsetting the low levels of lycopene, however, are higher levels of compounds called volatile terpenoids. Oh, you don't want to mess with them. Don't get them upset. The volatile terpenoids. No, it's not a Japanese cartoon show. Soon to be a major motion picture. They are chemical compounds which possess antimicrobial, pesticidal, and antifungal qualities. So, although the tomato may not be as good for you, it will have longer shelf life and need less pesticide to grow. Thank you, Israeli researchers. The team believes that other crops and flowers that, like tomatoes, produce carotenoids, could also be engineered to change their smell and taste. So look out, carotenoids. We're coming after you. Me, I'm praying for the revenge of the carotenoids. Me personally. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a surprising story from the Washington Post. KBR, the government contracting firm formerly under Halliburton, did not keep accurate records of gasoline distribution, put its employees in living spaces that may be larger than warranted, and served meals that appeared to cost $4.5 million more than necessary under its contract to perform work in Iraq. This is a report by the Special Inspector General for Iraqi Reconstruction, a position the administration wanted to abolish. This is just a part of the $22.5 billion contract KBR has to provide services for the U.S. military. The Inspector General faulted the U.S. government for not closely monitoring KBR. Yeah, that must have just slipped right under the rug there. As a result, the report said KBR's operations may have resulted in excessive government costs and high risk. The government resources could have been used improperly. Wouldn't want to do that while a war's on. And speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, the week began with Republican Senator Richard Lugar, former chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, coming out in a speech on the Senate floor, saying that the surge is not working, and hoping that the White House and the Congress can work on a new strategy in Iraq, basically to get the troops out of harm's way into basically the Murtha plan, basically what John Murtha was excoriated for calling for a year and a half ago. But that's a Democrat, and this is a Republican. And soon afterwards, Senator, I believe his first name is, I don't have the paper here. I didn't bring his name written down. Okay, so you trust me, his first name is George Voinovich, Republican senator from Ohio, kind of sidled up to the Lugar position on Iraq. Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has already said, well, there's going to be a new plan in September, sort of paving the way for whatever that's going to be. So it looks like the administration is losing support among its own party on the Iraq war. Then this week, of course, the immigration bill, Second Chance, went down to a fairly stunning defeat. One of the president's major legislative initiatives for this year. And then there are the subpoenas going to the administration for information on warrantless wiretapping. And among those voting for the subpoenas is Republican Senator Orrin Hatch, who has been, you know, Siamese twinned to the administration up till now in terms of his support for anything they wanted to do anytime, anywhere. And suddenly he's voting to subpoena information on warrantless wiretapping. So it's and there are those in the Washington chatitariat who now are saying, well, it's over. Bush administration's over. President's, you know, it's done. He's just going to be sitting there for 18 months, but it's moved on. Everybody's thinking about who's going to replace him. Nobody wants to, no Republican wants to be associated with him, except for Rudy Giuliani and John McCain, last two standing. So it's a interesting situation. The president, of course, is at Kennebunkport this weekend, hanging with dad, hanging with the family, and about to meet with Vladimir Putin. Before all that happens, though, a phone call may occur, and it will be audible through the magic of radio moments from now here on Le Show.
Some say that we're reckless. They say we're much too young. Tell us to stop before we've begun. We've got to hold out till graduation. Try to hang on, Maxine. World is sleeping, we meet at Lincoln Hall. Talk about life, the meaning of it all. Try to make sense of the suburban sprawl. Try to hang on, Maxine. This year, they say. You'll be my senorita in jeans and blue.
Viking Eagle.
You back in your room?
Hey, 41. Some great bone fishing today.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pootie's going to wish he got here a day earlier.
Well, maybe he can stay a day longer.
Don't tell me. Tell the fish. So why are you calling 41? I'll see you at dinner.
Know that. But that's family time, and we have to enjoy family obligations then.
Yeah.
Something been on my mind, though, that I hoped we would talk about on the boat, but...
No, I know. I got sidetracked with all that British terrorism stuff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know this is a near tragedy, and my heart certainly goes out to all the people who could have been killed and so forth, but, you know, maybe this is the wake-up call that we needed. You know, something dramatic, not even artificiated, to remind our opponents that if we don't fight the enemy in Iraq, he's going to follow us home, and Britain is right on the way.
Just, you know, a father feels these things maybe more deeply even than his own son. And sometimes a father's got to give voice to those feelings, and maybe his son's just got to slow down for a minute and listen up to the old man.
Yeah, I get you. There's somebody you need to talk to, and you think maybe I can put in a good word with him for you. Hey,
got into the meat of the chase here.
Yeah.
Worried about you. Worried for you. You lost that vote on the immigration bill,
yeah.
Losing more of your senators on the war every day, getting more subpoenas than Phil Spector's wig maker. People starting to say your presidency is over. Know what a rough time you must be having this week.
Phil who's what now?
Just something Dennis Miller said at the bar.
Oh. Well, 41, I don't think Vlad Pooty Poot thinks it's over. Otherwise, why'd he be visiting me? I think he's got better fish to fry than to spend a day or two with an ex-president.
No, that's...
Don't think new Prime Minister Gordon Brown thinks I'm at the end. Otherwise, he wouldn't be taking my call in the middle of all that he's in the middle of right now.
What I've been told, you haven't called him yet.
No, and that's just to tamp down the alarmism. Long time till September. But we've gotten a word that he will take the call when we make it.
Sure.
Yes, I had to admit defeat on the immigration bill, but that's part of Carl's new branding for me. I'm now a guy who will admit defeat every once in a while. Kind of humanitizes me and gives me almost, you know, an underdog kind of a vulcanization.
You mean vulnerability, don't you?
Yeah, I knew it was a vol word.
Know that there's still a busy-looking schedule and a tendency to deny the almost obvious, but when the members of your own party feel free to defy you on defining issues of your administration, that's just gotta hurt. Just want you to know that...
You feel my pain? Man, you've been hanging around too much at those Clinton charity things.
Yeah.
For the record, 41, of course, this is off the record. I'm not hurting. You know, these are the same folks who said at the beginning, because I won in a shaver-thin margin in 2000, that I was going to govern as a cautious centrist. But what was true today is still true then. If you're fulfilling a mission from a higher executive who really is not in the executive branch, that somehow all of the convenient wisdom need not apply.
Well, Sprout, no one understands better than I do the manly virtues of self-control and self-restraint and self a lot of other things. And obviously, for public consumption, you got to maintain the fiction that your power's undiminished and your resolve is unwavering and all that sort of duty. But in your heart of hearts, you got to know that this is a moment of painful, sad, almost tragic transition. It was for me, and I won my war.
Yeah, maybe it's that way for other folks, 41, but as long as I'm born again, heck, this is just like a picnic where somebody forgot to bring the ad remover.
Yeah.
We got plenty of initiatives left to initiativitate in the next 18 months. We got the Clean Rivers Bill, which will encourage companies that contribute nutrient-rich outflow to our nation's rivers to self-regulate themselves. We got the No Senior Citizen Left Behind program, taking the whole No Such and Such Left Behind brand and walking it up age-wise.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole new generic modification approach to missile defense, where we shoot a targeted beam of specially designed bacteria at a threat, and they eat the incoming missile. So,
genetic?
Sure, if we can afford it. So,
43.
Yeah.
This is the part I was hoping I wouldn't have to say, because, well, kind of expected you to be saying it and me to be cheering you up about it. But your power is draining away so fast that within 6 months, the only Republican who'll agree to be photographed with you will be Laura. Your ability to initiate anything and not have a dead on arrival on Capitol Hill is nil, mm-hmm. gone, kaput, mm-hmm. nada.
Mm-hmm.
Internationally, where we usually concentrate at this point in the presidency,
yeah.
you're the ants at that picnic of yours. Saying that you hope Iraq ends up like Israel,
uh-huh.
this may have guaranteed that no world leader except Pooty will take a phone call from you until you're safely out of office.
And?
Just saying, don't worry, it's not so bad.
Okay, 41. Well, I appreciate the sympathy
mm-hmm.
and the empathy and everything else-pathy, and I'm going to go get dressed for dinner.
What are you wearing?
What I'm wearing now, I just got to zip it up. See ya.
She sat before me and told me how she had put an end to the pain right here and now, to that old squeaky wheel, the noose around her neck. She said, enough is enough, I've paid my debts. She's got a hole in the head where the rain fell through. She cared for so long, there's nothing she wouldn't do for everyone everywhere but herself. She said, I'm so tired of only having this sympathy, sympathy for everybody else. I need some sympathy for myself. She's so hard on herself. Everyone, she's kind. She believes in the lies someone put in her mind. To that old squeaky wheel, the noose around her neck. Enough is enough, she's paid her debts. She's got a hole in the head, the rain fell through. She's cared for so long, there's nothing she wouldn't do for anyone everywhere but herself. She's so tired of only having this sympathy, sympathy for everybody else. She says, I need some sympathy for myself. Myself. Well, ponies and horses, apples. tells and tells. Well, everyone's different, but nobody's spared. Well, I met a woman and she told me straight that at 80 and aging, she's still full of self-hate. I want to stop it. I want it to end. I want me and myself to be the best of friends. I'm so tired of all the anguish of my critical self. I'm so tired of only having sympathy, sympathy for everybody else. I need some sympathy for her. I got sympathy for everybody else. I need some sympathy for myself. I got sympathy, and it's
and now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. Suggestions that Rupert Murdoch has been censoring material on the newly launched Chinese version of his red-hot MySpace internet property have amplified fears for the Wall Street Journal. Analysts, this is from the Sydney Morning Herald in Australia. Analysts say the social networking site MySpace China, launched in April, censors user comments more than is necessary. Its local ownership means the venture is obliged to cooperate with authorities more than it would have had to if it were based outside China. And Murdoch has paid close personal attention to the launch, bypassing the company's chain of command. His Chinese-born third wife, Wendy Dang, a former executive at one of News's Asian operations, was recently installed as the venture's chief of strategy, her first executive role since marrying the mogul and bearing him two fine children. It's the first thing she's been active in, says a longtime News executive. Her involvement has been her husband, their two children, and now MySpace China. Dateline Kuwait. Did the Americans bury nuclear waste in Kuwait's territories during Kuwait's liberation from the Iraqi invasion? Some environmental specialists now confirm that such claims are true, but other experts are denying such claims, according to the Kuwait Times. The question still remains as to what is the truth behind this matter and who can reveal it. Also from Australia, from the Age newspaper, plasma televisions are sending home power bills sky high as more people install bigger and more energy-intensive screens. Plasma TVs are fast overtaking refrigerators and freezers as a greenhouse gas culprit. Plasma screens can use up to four times the energy consumed by a standard TV, as well as using more standby power. We don't have energy rating labels for televisions, unlike white goods. That means refrigerators and washers. So there's no simple way to compare the running costs of different makes and models, says an Australia energy efficiency expert. In general, however, he says, the bigger the screen, the higher the electricity use. Helmand Province in southern Afghanistan, where some 7,000 British troops are based, is on the verge of becoming the world's largest drug supplier, cultivating more opium than entire countries such as Burma, Morocco, or even Colombia. The region was largely responsible for a huge increase last year in Afghanistan's opium poppy harvest. Helmand's poppy harvest is expected to increase again this year, according to the UN. From the Arab newspaper Azaman. As U.S. troops battle to retake Baghdad and surrounding areas, the government is reported to have lost control of Basra, where almost all of the country's oil exports originate. The city, according to well-placed sources, is under the hegemony of militias who do not run its streets only, but have imposed taxes on oil output. It may be too late for Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to restore control of Basra, says one Iraqi intelligence source. The sources point to the growing Iranian influence in Basra and most of southern Iraq. The decline of government control in these areas comes as Iraqi and U.S. troops are engaged in fierce fighting with the British Parliament, an influential committee of members of Parliament, will decide on holding a full inquiry into whether the Attorney General's office or the Ministry of Defense gave soldiers the green light to abuse detainees in Iraq. Sounds familiar? In April 2003, the Red Cross made representations to Britain about its treatment of detainees in Iraq. Then Major General Robin Brims ordered hooding to be stopped, but hooding and subjecting prisoners to stress continued. Iraqis held with Baha Moussa, an innocent hotel worker who was beaten to death in British military custody in 2003, said that torture techniques, including sleep deprivation, food deprivation, and noise, were applied. These were banned by the British government in 1972. From The Independent, Robert Fisk reports that the outgoing British ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Sir Sherard Cowper Coles, says the Brits may have to, or the West may have to, remain in Afghanistan for decades to protect Afghans from the Taliban. He's affectionately known as Abu Henry to his Saudi friends. Left Riyadh in some haste. He expected to spend another year there. He boasted to his Saudi friends, according to a government magazine, that in Riyadh, quote, "We've been proud of our visa policy, where 95% of Saudis applying for a visa to Britain before 9 a.m. on a workday obtain their visas by 2 p.m. the same working day." Unquote. Saudis provided 14 of the 19 9/11 hijackers, ladies and gentlemen. And the British Sunday Telegraph reports that rap and hip-hop sales are down 33%, double the decline of the CD market overall. Not one rap album made the American top 10 last year. Rap has been deserted by many white fans and middle-class blacks, apparently tiring of the gangsta attitude toward women, racism, violence, and bling. The public has made a choice. They're saying, we do not want the nonsense that we see and hear on the radio, says KRS-One, a rap legend from the Bronx. Rap music is being boycotted by the American public, he said, because of the images we are putting forward. See, it's not all bad news. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, yeah, so I'm flying off to London.
But we really didn't know until Sunday morning that Harry was probably going to be okay.
No, I'm probably going to be okay, and it's too late to say that now, Dick. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, shortwave around the world through the computer of the internet at two different locations, live and archived whenever you want at harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, on Sirius and XM satellite radios, available as a free download at www.audible.com/leshow, available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it would be just like rocking the house if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by... we'll look that up. A tip at Le Show Chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, and Chicago desks. Le Show playlists supposedly available at harryshearer.com. So much is in flux, you know? The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.